Welcome to Just Us and the Climate, a podcast by the Climate Justice Coalition, where we bring climate change back down to earth and show how it's not only a crisis, but an opportunity to build a better and more just world.
Welcome to another episode of Just Us and the Climate. I'm Shazia Ibrahim, the Digital and Communications Specialist at the Climate Justice Coalition. Today's episode is a special one. We're partnering with Radio Workshop to bring you their podcast episode, Just Enough Light, which tells the story of a community in Mpumalanga and their experience with solar energy. I'm joined by Sia Mokwena, one of the reporters behind the episode, to chat about the process, the stories that stood out, and why the episode matters. Sia, welcome.
Hi, Shazia. Thank you so much for having me.
Amazing. Let's get into it. Can you tell us a little bit about your own background and how you first got involved with Radio Workshop?
My name is Sia Mokwena. I am a youth reporter, a local facilitator also for Radio Workshop. I've been with Radio Workshop for the past 6-7 years. I remember walking into my community radio station, Emalahleni FM, back in 2018. I really loved the idea of being on radio. And it was known as the Children's Radio Foundation back then. And I just started a career of radio reporter. We were broadcasting every Saturday morning, doing shows amongst the 15 of us. We were 15 youth reporters. Fast forward, fast track to 2015. I'm now the local facilitator, which means I then now oversee and I produce the local radio shows every Saturday. So I now manage the group of 15 youth reporters, and the work we do is still the same. We speak about socioeconomic issues that affect the young people in and around my local community. So when the podcast division came about of Radio Workshop, I was one of the youth reporters that got to start with reporting, doing a podcast episode called This Coal Life, which you may have heard of. I was a reporter then, and yeah, the episode went out. We went on the ground. It was a field reporting trip with my producer, Darshan Moodley. And yeah, we just did so much work on the ground, asking questions, narrating, questioning people, collecting voxes. And we just did it again for Just Enough Light recently. And the episode has dropped.
That's incredible. And I'm so excited to share that episode that you worked on with our listeners. But I'll also plug in the links to the previous podcast episode as well. But maybe just tell us a little bit about what it was like being part of the process of creating Just Enough Light. Was there anything that stood out to you about how it all came together?
So Just Enough Light, it was so much real and so much close to home for me. I'm born in a coal town myself. We have this framework of the just energy transition that is happening across South Africa and across the globe, where we're just moving from non-renewables to renewables, right? So working on Just Enough Light hit home to me because we were following a community and a young person, it was Pesise, who has found something else to do outside of getting to, you know, do the norm, which is like finding a job in the power station or a coal mine in the surrounding areas, right? So being a part of and telling a story of a young man who, just like me, is trying to navigate life, and also with this surprise of the just energy transition that is just taking everybody by storm, and unemployment also being a thing, it's really just about finding things to do. So we followed Uspesihle from a town called Nomzamo in Ermelo in Mpumalanga, and Uspesihle and his sister Thembelihle showed us across and around their home. They welcomed us in. For me, being a part of the process of creating Just Enough Light really echoed the lives of similarly to many other South Africans who are in the quest of finding stability, just a bit more deep, because it's within a space where we are kind of sort of leaving and now leaning towards renewables and different job opportunities that come in the green jobs, in the green sector. I think something that stood out for me as it came all together really has got to be meeting the people of Nomzamo, a welcoming community, meeting different people that really, really, really owe it all to coal. But also, while in the process of transitioning to something else, they still manage to just be together and form a very loving community that is just there for each other. Like, they are a very beautiful community that just stands for each other and is just there, all loving and protecting and caring towards each other. So that's what really stood out for me, and getting to share and echo the story of a young man who is in the process of finding stability in life, but also now finding something else, which is a solar, because he knew nothing about solar, just like along with other colleagues of his that he works with. Solar was something new, but now they really are finding ground and getting to probe a little bit more on the opportunity that solar can bring, not only to them, but to, I guess, the whole country at large.
I love that. And I definitely think listening to the episode, you can understand that community feel and that idea, that way of being introduced to something different, people's curiosity about solar. I definitely found it beautiful to listen to and just very well done. And I mean, for the third question, I was going to ask you why you think this episode's topic feels especially important or relevant right now. I know you mentioned unemployment, which is a huge theme in South Africa, and also the just energy transition, but I don't know if you want to speak a little bit more to that, or if there are other things that you feel are also especially important and relevant right now.
To echo a little on the unemployment, it's a staggering amount. Like, it's a shocking amount of young people that are unemployed, right? And it's crazy how it just feels as though there really is no hope sometimes, especially to people who went to school and graduated and now just find themselves in this space where they really just don't know what else to do, and they feel like a bit stagnant in their lives. But also, to echo a little bit more on the just energy transition, I really do think a lot of people don't know much about the just energy transition. And it's really sad to know that while not knowing much, it's really happening right within their homes, right within their houses, right within their communities, especially the community of Nomzamo, all of the other surrounding areas in Ermelo, Mpumalanga. I really do think it's really important to kind of see the different opportunities that come with the non-renewables, right? The different opportunities, and learn about them, and also just find ways to materialize them. I mean, there really is no different approach to this. There's no different way or, copy monkey see monkey do to another country that has done something similar to this. I really do think while we are transitioning to something different, another important thing to do is to also try educate ourselves about all of the other different sectors, entrepreneurship and stuff that people can do outside of the coal jobs that really depend, that really have just been, you know, paying bills and putting bread on the tables for many decades. For me, it hit really close to home because my dad also works in a power station, in a mine, right? And there's a lot of power stations. While they complain about stuff like pollution in the air and all of these other problems that come with the non-renewables, there really is a bigger problem now, which comes then to say, with jobs being a thing, what now, right? People really do need jobs. I think, like I'm saying, it really hits closer to home because my dad also works in a mine. And to come to think of it, I really don't know what's going to happen. Like, what's the next story for us if all of the mines would shut down, right? The green jobs that are made available, like solar, are those really something that are accessible? What are sustainability that comes with these green jobs like the solar industry?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate your vulnerability. I think it's something that so many people come from coal town share, this kind of excitement about this just energy transition, which you maybe don't know enough about, but also knowing that coal has been the backbone of your own family for such a long time. So I think that's what makes it super relevant as well, because I feel like so many communities in South Africa have that story. So thank you for doing this. I guess my final question then is, what do you hope listeners will take away from this episode? Or what kind of reflection do you hope that it sparks for them?
So at Radio Workshop, we do these stories along the lines of investigative journalism, right? Investigative storytelling. We follow a character and we investigate the different parts and different aspects to this individual, in this case being Uthembe uSphesihle, right? USphesihle is this young man. He's really in the position where he's trying to find the next thing, you know. Unfortunately, an opportunity with Peko Power came, and he really has been doing this for so long now. He really has been, you know, for the past year, in fact, going around his community and selling these starter kits to the community that just lights everything up. I think the big takeaway I am hoping somebody gets to take away with themselves as they listen to this episode is that irregardless of the different challenges that one may really face, there always is perhaps this little silver lining or opportunity that comes. With him, uSphesihle, it was this opportunity with Peko, and he has been doing this for the past few years. Even with a lot of uncertainty and the quest for stability and understanding what the future may bring when mines and power stations shut down, I hope the listener takes away the fact that there are really a lot of people, and in this case, the community of Nomzamo, where uSphesihle live, that really owe it all to coal, that really are in a position where they've never really experienced what may be a norm to other people, like switching the light on. They've never had electricity, and they really are still in a position where they're able to come together in an organized way, in a way that they're able to echo each other's views and coexist with values, right? And the breaking of the stigma or whatever stereotypes that are associated with a lot of informal settlements, that they are unorganized and there isn't really a future for people that come from there. This story is going to tell you, or rather teach you, how irregardless of what they may not have, which may be normal to other people, they still are a group of people that exist. And whether or not the government comes to support them, they do make means and actually put food on the table, even though it's not easy. So I hope that sparks thought and that intuition to the listener to say there are these communities, a lot of them. And sometimes it's really just a matter of being graceful towards different people because you don't understand and you don't know the kind of community or homes that they're coming from, but also just being able to receive people as they are and embrace different people from different backgrounds too.
Absolutely. I think that's such an important takeaway. Thanks so much for your time, Sia. This is an incredible episode, and I know that our listeners are going to thoroughly enjoy it.
Hey, I'm Sia Mugwena, and I'm walking in Nomzamo. It's an informal settlement just a few hours northeast of Johannesburg, right in the heartland of coal. But today is all about solar.
We're walking to A21. We're going to do the installation.
We're doing the installation now.
Yes.
Thembelihle Lukele installed solar, and today she's taking me to the home of her favorite customer.
Gogo. Okay. You guys can come in. Yes.
Thabile Msibi's four grandkids are running around her. She's in her 60s, and so Thembelihle also calls her Gogo, or Granny. Gogo's been waiting for weeks for the team to come and install her second solar kit.
Maranje, every day I call Thembelihle, tell me, I'm coming, Gogo, I'm coming. No problem.
Gogo's home is just like her, warm and inviting. It's corrugated metal. The outside is painted dark red, The window frames are lime green. It's one of the nicest houses in Nomzamo. 3 bedrooms for 7 people, separated by lace curtains. And then Gogo shows me where she sleeps.
Put this side to sleep like this. Finish.
When I stepped into Gogo's home, it took a few minutes for my eyes to adjust. It's so dark. Even though it's bright and sunny outside, her windows don't let that much light in. Gogo's kitchen stove runs on wood and coal, so there's black ash everywhere. He would love an electric stove, but that's just out of the question.
Electric stove was too much money. Hey, expensive, eh? It's right, this one.
It's not just that the cost of a new stove is too much. It's the fact that Gogo's neighborhood has no electricity. Just to light her home at night, she used to spend hundreds of dollars a year to buy candles and paraffin. But that changed about a year ago when she got her first solar unit. And today, she's getting her second.
Yes, I'm happy. I have a small thing I do.
Lula Mamasego is on top of Gogo Tabile's house. He's small and thin, which helps when you're balancing on a roof. Drill in one hand, solar panel in the other.
Oh, yeah.
With the panel mounted to the roof, Lulama runs a set of wires to his colleague inside. Dindoguhle Malaza takes it from there. He grabs the wire and threads it through Gogo's house. He attaches it to a couple of lights inside and one right outside the front door. He then adds a USB port so that Gogo Tabile can charge her phone. It took about 30 minutes for the whole installation, and now they are packing up.
Yes. Everything is done now. There was no problems at all.
The team has installed about 400 solar panels in Nomzamo. Lindoguhle knows his customers are happy to have a reliable and safe source of electricity. And he likes having reliable and safe work too.
I can buy clothes and maybe help my mother with some things. Yeah, because I can't expect everything from her. Yeah.
For Lindoguhle, Lulama and Tembelihle, their jobs are about more than money. They're building their careers in an industry that's supposed to replace coal and reduce carbon emissions. In Nomzamo, it's opening up possibilities to make it a better place to live, while also raising questions about the limitations of renewable energy.
Hey, I'm Lesedi Mokgwatle, and this is Radio Workshop. What you're hearing is pretty remarkable. In South Africa, an estimated 1.5 million homes are not connected to a power grid. And for those who are connected, about 85% of that electricity comes from coal-fired power plants. While the government says it is working to get electricity to more people, Nomzamo, the small community of about 400 households, is testing an alternative to coal, solar power. Communities like Nomzamo having access to solar is a key part of what South Africa's government has called the Just Energy Transition. Simply put, the Just Energy Transition is supposed to make things fair as the country shifts away from coal and towards cleaner power. But can renewables create the same opportunities that coal did? And how close to a perfect solution is needed to create the fairness promised by this just transition? In other words, how much justice in renewable energy is just enough? Places like Nomzamo were left behind long before anyone started talking about moving away from coal. Nomzamo is what we call an informal settlement. There are a few thousand of these communities in South Africa, and they generally have high rates of poverty, few jobs, and for young people, there's not a lot of hope for the future. Even though our reporter Siya Mugwena knows places like Nomzamo really well, he grew up not too far from there, he wanted to visit Nomzamo to get a sense of how renewable energy is changing things, especially for young people like himself. So he got Sphesihle Magagula to show him around.
Welcome to my community. This is Nomzamo. So I'm happy to introduce you in everything that is happening here in Nomzamo. I'm happy to show you everything.
Sphesihle is one of a handful of young people who are selling, installing and maintaining solar power in this community. As we walk, Spesisha points out house after house.
Yeah. Everyone in this street is my guy. Actually, like every house that you are seeing in this street. Yeah, he like here on my right, it's A333. It's also my guy, and it's Mangele's house.
Since the project started a year ago, Spesisha has sold starter solar kits to about half of Nomzamo. That has made him low-key famous among his neighbors. He's a charming, smooth-talking salesman, the kind of guy who could really sell anything to anyone.
Solar is something amazing. Solar is like it's a free energy because it's like a natural energy because it's powered by the sun.
It's free energy, but the technology is not free. The solar kits are built by Peko Power, a company based in Johannesburg. Peko Power designed the kits to be robust, easy to install, and affordable. And they hired Spesisha and other young people calling them Peko Champions to go door to door and sell the devices. It costs 80 rand a month, or about $4, and eventually the renters own the unit. Spesisha's sister, Ronel, says that's a big deal for people living in Nomzamo, especially when the town's name means struggle or effort.
They all go through the struggle of not having sanitation and water and electricity, so it's part of life and growing. So we are used to this thing of fetching water and everything.
Ronel is 27. She has a degree in financial management. Her son was born 3 years ago, around the time she moved to Nomzamo with her mother and brother.
And I was like, oh, this place is so cool. Kids playing on the street. It's already an environment that have built, and it has been a friendly and welcoming environment.
Nomzamo hasn't been around for a long time. The first houses started to go up less than a decade ago. We heard that the mayor of the nearby town of Ermelo let some families move onto vacant land after floods left them homeless. But the government doesn't provide any services here. That means no electricity, no running water, no waste removal. Still, some residents found a way to connect their homes to nearby electricity and water. None of it is legal. Spesihle says they've just learned to rely on each other.
We help each other. Anything that is bothering you is bothering me, it's bothering my neighbor. We come together and find a solution.
Despite being called an informal settlement, Nomzamo is highly organized. There's a neighborhood watch, a women's group, a leadership committee. And I don't want to give you the idea that Nomzamo is in the middle of nowhere. It's just on the outskirts of Ermelo, a highly developed coal town of more than 150,000 people. Ermelo is well lit compared to Nomzamo. Spesisha says that before solar power, the nights in Nomzamo were tough.
After 7, it's not easy to walk around Nomzamo because it's too dark. It's dark, you know, darkness always, it brings that fear. So it's scary. That's all. It's scary. At 7 o'clock, you will see no one on the street.
I spoke to so many families who said having outdoor lights has made a huge difference at night. It's much better than candlelight, brighter and safer, and of course cheaper too. They were spending 2 to 3 times more on candles than on the monthly rental of a solar kit. And on the streets of Nomzamo, the solar lighting is achieving something really amazing. So my producer, Darshan Moodley, and I came back to see it for ourselves. Oh, okay. The time now is 7:05 in the evening. So we're getting outside of the power. We just arrived in Nomzamo again for the second time today.
Hello.
Before solar power, it was pitch black here. You wouldn't even be able to see your own feet. People were worried about falling and hurting themselves or getting hurt by someone else. It was very scary. But a year ago, the Peko Champions installed 60 double lamp streetlights, and as we're driving, I can see the difference. The areas with the street lamps are bright, and it feels safe.
And that it showed that we're developing as a community. We're growing.
That's Fiso Slatrayu. He lives in Nomzamo and works for Kutala Environmental Care Group. It's a local nonprofit that educates residents about how coal harms their health. He says that nowadays, there's only one word to describe Nomzamo at night.
Oh, beautiful. That's where you see the solar is working. Oh, the solar. Everyone talks about, we need the solar, we need the... It's beautiful. Because when there is no electricity around ML, Nomzamo is the one with the light.
Sifiso is talking about a time recently when the town next door lost power. It was due to a planned power cut, or what's called load shedding in South Africa. Power outages are now a part of life, but when Ermelo went dark, the lights in Nomzamo stayed on.
When there's the load shedding, they said, oh, we're going to Sandton now. Just go there, Nomzamo. There's electricity.
Sifiso is saying his neighbors bragged about how they were living large. Like they were in Sandton, the famously wealthy suburb in Johannesburg.
It's like they are proud. They are proud to be at Nomzamo.
And yeah, for young people like Spesihle and his sister Ronel, the street lights make life easier. But when solar was first talked about, it wasn't the first thing on their list.
Our life revolved around the cell phone.
Without a cell phone, it's like your mind is not working, man. Like if you don't have a cell phone, like you can see, here's my cell phone, but it doesn't have a battery. It's like you are off of this world. You know, like everything is shut down.
I mean, we all know that feeling when our phone dies. And imagine if there's just no place to plug it in. For me, that's a feeling that really hits close to home. There was once a time when I was growing up that my family lived in a community just like Nomzamo. It's a few hours away from here, near another mining town. We didn't really have electricity either, so when my phone battery hit 1%, I had to pay someone to charge it for me. At some point, my dad got me a cheap solar-powered charger. I hung the solar panel from my window, but it didn't really work. I even remember a day when my dad asked me to come outside. He needed help. He was digging a trench with a couple of neighbors so that they could bury a power cable running from the local shop to our homes. It wasn't exactly legal, but it was the only way we could get electricity. And people in Nomzamo have been doing the same thing.
When it's raining, you know that these wires will be out of the ground. What would happen to the kids going to school?
It's not reliable because anytime the municipality can come and decide to cut it off, and then you won't be having power at that moment, you know. But if you are having Pico, you will be able to have light, you will be able to charge your phone.
Pudi? Yeah, so should we come in?
Okay. But for other families, getting some electricity from solar is not enough.
It's only lighting and charging.
Ayanda was one of the first people to move into Nomzamo.
I see you have a fridge here. Then how do you use your fridge?
Illegal connection, to be honest.
Okay.
Ayanda is not her real name. She asked us to call her that because, like a lot of her neighbors, she's still connected to illegal electricity.
I've talked to the neighbors that had already had their illegal connections. Then they connected to me. And then I took the cable to the house.
So the basic solar units aren't strong enough to power big appliances. And while Peko sells a much more expensive unit that can power a fridge or a TV, it's hard to compete with the mostly free cost of an illegal hookup, especially when it provides enough power to meet one of the biggest needs, which is storing food.
Yes. Okay, so now I'm about to open the shelter and then you're about to go in and see the refrigerator.
That's Pesifia again, the Peko champion. He unlocks and opens the door to a corrugated metal shelter.
You are inside now and then you are opening the fridge.
The fridge inside is a chest freezer. It's one of the 10 communal freezers spread across Nomzamo, all powered by larger solar units and shared by dozens of nearby residents. The freezers are here because so many people couldn't afford to buy food in bulk without a way to keep it fresh. Many residents said they spend up to half their income on food, and so Maria Mayaba agreed to keep a communal freezer on her property for her neighbors to store their food. Maria's in her late 60s, a pensioner who, until recently, made some money selling coal on the side to her neighbors. He says then the police cracked down on illegal coal mining and her supply dried up. So when the leadership of Nomzamo asked her to be the custodian of this freezer and get paid for it, she was open to it. She said she's available anytime for the community. So even if people can call at 10 p.m., she wakes up to make sure that the meter's out.
There's meat here. There are plastic which are carrying meat. Okay, it's about 4 packages here. Yeah, and then that's it.
But Ayanda, who relies on illegal electricity, says some people didn't want a communal fridge. What they wanted and thought they were going to get was enough electricity to run their own refrigerators in their own houses.
There are expectations. It's okay, I'm going to be able to plug my fridge and also to boil water, but it was not like that. Our expectations were high, but we didn't get what we were expecting. So
when time goes on, I became very disappointed at the project.
So part of her disappointment goes back to how the project got started. Before the people living in Nomzamo had access to solar, they were invited to dream big about things way beyond what a small solar unit could provide.
When they are going to implement this project somewhere else, they have to introduce a better system, not this one.
Green Cape is a nonprofit in Cape Town, the ones behind the efforts to bring solar to Nomzamo.
People have aspirations and people want more things.
Reshmi Walvers leads Green Cape solar project in Nomzamo.
They should want more things. That's not the problem. They didn't have anything before we went into this community. And I want them to want more eventually. They probably won't get it from us, but they should still be aspiring towards that.
Reshmi's team chose Nomzamo because they'd been looking for a community that seemed safe and open to change.
They were already quite progressive. They were already quite organized. They seemed to really care about the community itself and the fact that it seemed like a peaceful community coexisting.
To fund the solar project, Green Cape raised money from a few foreign embassies, including Denmark, New Zealand, and France. Then Green Cape selected Peco Power to build the solar kits and the streetlights. Green Cape says all along the way, the people in Nomzamo were involved.
For me, the main indicator of our success is that I haven't had to chase anyone for this, but they have really been coming together as active citizens. That's the ultimate goal here.
Reshmi says the project has met a lot of residents' power needs. Plus, it's provided jobs, even if it's nowhere near the amount being lost in the larger shift away from coal. The thing is, when Green Cape asked people living in Nomzamo to dream about life with solar, they imagined having enough power to support Wi-Fi hotspots, washing machines, even televisions. But for Ayanda and others, this was more than a dream. It was a promise that was broken.
Why didn't they do what they've promised from the onset? What changed? What made them change without letting the community know?
Reshmi gets that there's a gap between what people wanted and the available funds. She says better communication in the future might help, but another problem that was much harder to predict came up. We are back with Maria Mayaba, who manages a communal freezer. When she agreed to store people's food, Green Cape told her she'd earn around 30 rand a month, about $2 from each neighbor, an amount she's supposed to charge to make it worth her while. Out of 20 people, only 3 people paid 30 rand for the past 2-3 weeks. And everybody else that comes and wants to leave their food here, she lets them because she feels it belongs to the community. So Green Cape's push for solar gets kind of a mixed report card from people in Nomzamo. Yes, some things are better, but they didn't get everything they wanted or thought they would.
this kind of community co-design is very new.
Tracy Ledger is part of the Public Affairs Research Institute in Johannesburg. Her work focuses on the just transition.
Normally what happens is somebody else designs the solution and simply comes and imposes it in the community.
So Tracy applauds GreenCape's efforts to work with the people in Nomzamo, and she gets why some people feel the effort falls short.
The question is whether or not you're doing a better job than the alternative processes of design, rather than saying, well, if you didn't have a perfect solution and everybody isn't happy, then it hasn't worked. It's a learning curve.
Tracy's research focuses on how much energy people really need. Take the freezers, for example. It saves them a lot of money, but requires a lot of power. And as South Africa moves away from coal, Tracy wants the government to treat access to energy as a fundamental human need, like shelter or food.
Electricity competes with food. The research shows that quite clearly, that the main item that households will cut back on to buy electricity is food. So we shouldn't think that it's a good thing that households are willing to compromise their food security status to pay for electricity.
Tracy's organization wants the government to provide enough electricity to meet basic needs. That's about 35 times what a Peko starter kit provides.
It's a fallacy that poor people don't want to pay for things. I mean, even when people have illegal connections, that's not free electricity. You pay a lot of money for an illegal connection.
Tracy says GreenCape's project in Nomzamo gets more right than wrong. And so it's fine that it's not perfect.
What I'm saying is that we need to guard against the temptation to think that this is the solution. That if we've done this, that there is no more problem. That is my main issue. It's not to criticize the project. I think the project's great, and it's obviously got benefits for the local community. My question is that we do not look at this as a final solution and that say that in Nomzamo there is now no problem.
There's an irony to Nomzamo, especially in the just transition. This community that is trying to get even a little bit of electricity is so close to some of the largest coal mines in the country. The N17 highway runs right past Nomzamo. Specifically sees hundreds of coal trucks pass by each day.
Every day, what I see in this road, N17, are trucks, coal trucks, yeah. Going up and down, you know.
Those trucks are the old economy, the coal economy that built this region. But it also left places like Nomzamo behind. The solar project here isn't going to stop those trucks. 5 Peko champion jobs won't replace the thousands of coal jobs that will disappear as South Africa transitions to renewable energy. But it's done a lot for Spesihle and his community. It's given him skills and a steady income.
Oh, guys, in 10 years from now, I think I'll be running my own business.
But right now, he's looking for work. His job as a Peko champion is almost done. He installed solar power for everyone who wanted it in Nomzamo. Now he's busy collecting monthly rent from his clients. But he hopes he and the other Peko champions will be able to start their own businesses to sell solar to other communities like Nomzamo.
So as for now, like, I'm seeing an opportunity in solar. So I think maybe in 10 years from now, I'll be running my solar company.
For young people like Spesihle, his sister Ronal, and me, growing up in coal towns where everything is changing, we have to grab whatever opportunity we can find.
I will explore every way to make money. Yeah. Even if moving out of my comfort zone, I will move.
Ronald's describing the hustle to find stability. That's the reality for most young people here. Renewable energy won't create the perfect job, but it is opening up doors to possibilities that weren't there before.
Everyone, when you talk about the Peko system, the first person they approach is Spesihle, because they know that he will treat them with the utmost respect. I'm proud of you. Yeah.
I love you and I respect you big time. It makes me feel very important because you never told me that. It's my first time hearing that she's proud of me.
Spizzy has all smiles reacting to Ronald's pride. It's big for both of them. And whatever happens next, Spizzy shares someone who electrified his community. It's a story he can tell for the rest of his life.
This story was reported by Sia Mugwena and Darshan Moodley. Production assistance from Mo Isu and Malvin Shabangu. Thanks to Kutala Environmental Care Group, Green Cape, Pico Power, VOCFM in Ermelo, and residents of Nomzamo for their support. This episode was edited by me, Lesedi Mokgwatle, with help from Kerry Donahue, who provided mentorship and editorial support to our team. Original music by Kwamani Sambu at Edible Audio in Cape Town. Sound engineering by Joe Jackson and Mike Rayfeld. Joe Jackson is our managing producer. Clemence Petit-Perrot is our impact producer with support from impact strategist Andy Jones. Mike Rayfeld is our executive producer. Vuyo Litzage is our executive director. This episode and the work of Radio Workshop would not be possible without support from the Doc Society, the UMI Fund, the African Climate Foundation, and the Oppenheimer Memorial Trust. A special thanks to Context News at the Thomson Reuters Foundation for collaborating with us on this story. You can find a link to their story with our background research in our show notes. Special thanks to Rob Byers and to Hindenburg for supporting our projects across Africa with audio editing software. We can only do this work because of your support. You can make a donation at radioworkshop.org.
Thank you for listening to Just Us and the Climate, a production of the Climate Justice Coalition. To find out more about the coalition and our work to advance climate justice, visit climatejusticecoalition.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share it widely. The more people it reaches, the more we can help grow the movement for climate justice.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.